And I want to read you some things out of the prophet Hosea. Because everything you see here tonight and everything you hear here tonight is said and done for one reason, to get you to read the Word of God. Because if there's anything wrong in America today, and anything that's been wrong in America progressively over the last years, generation, or century, it's because we as a people have not been heeding and reading the Word of God. In the fourth chapter of Hosea is a very specific promise. God makes promises that are sometimes not so good for us, you know. We accept the idea that God gathers and keeps and protects Israel. But God warns Israel, and He says, if you do such and so, I'll do such and so. And sometimes those things aren't so good. But in the fourth chapter of Hosea, verse 6 and 7, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou, and here's the knowledge we have rejected, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Would to God that Christian people in this nation would recognize the problem we face with the young generation as far as dope and alcohol and rebellion against their parents, rebellion against the so-called society that they live in, has its basis in the truth that the parents have forgotten the law of the Lord. God said, if you forget my law, I'll forget your children. Verse 7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. And in spite of everything that God has done in this nation to glorify this nation so that we can glorify Him, which we have done, America and Britain, I believe, print somewhere in the neighborhood of 90% of all the Bibles that have ever been printed. By the time you add Germany, you come up with about 98% of all the Bibles, all the portions of the Bible, and all the missionaries and ministers that have come to this people and to the rest of the world. They have come from this people, and yet we as a people have turned around because we have forgotten who we were, and we have turned away from the Word of the Lord. But in spite of that, I want to read you God's specific promises that even though we have done this, that He will still keep His covenant with the house of Israel. In the first chapter, we heard from one of the other men the very simple story of how God, through Hosea, told him that He would cast off the house of Israel. In verse 6 and verse 9 of the first chapter, He said, I will not have mercy on them, and they will no longer be my people, and I will not be their God. As you watch that map on that film tonight, you recognize, you people who've studied ancient history, that in the lands of Eastern Europe, Southern Europe, and the lands of Scandinavia, our people worshipped alien gods, all the way from Thor in Norway and Sweden, down to the myths and the gods of Rome and Greece. We left our God and we worshipped other gods in the centuries following the dispersion of the house of Israel through Assyria. And Hosea was a prophet to that kingdom just before they went into the Assyrian captivity. But even as God cast him off, He said in verse 10, yet, or in spite of my not being your God and you not being my people, in spite of my not having mercy on you, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered nor measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Brother Bell explained, this was a prophecy fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophecy of Hosea was given in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem, died and was resurrected there, and the prophets who followed Him, the apostles who followed Him, told the Israel people that because of the death and resurrection of Christ, they had become the sons of the living God. In the second chapter of Hosea is God's prophecy to the house of Israel as to how they eventually would be brought back in covenant relationship to Him. Verse 2, or chapter 2, He says, say you unto brethren, am I, unto your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Israel was no longer the wife of God. But God did not say, I'll bring you back to the land. In fact, in verse 6, He said, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. If you know Bible terminology, you know that thorns are heathen people. You saw the map tonight, how Attila the Hun and the hordes of Asia under Genghis Khan drove our people from the eastern part of Europe to the western part of Europe. These thorns that God sent, some of you history buffs may know that Attila the Hun was called the Scourge of the Lord. He drove Israel out of southern Russia into the rest of Europe. God said that they would go after other gods, verse 7, and she shall follow after her lovers. And remember, Israel was accused of harlotry with other gods, so the other gods were their lovers. She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then, when she finally has come to the end of herself in the other gods, then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. I think one of the most damaging teachings of the church today is that the bride of Christ is a Gentile church. No, the bride of Christ is restored Israel. If you don't believe that, read the last two chapters of Revelation. God said in verse 11, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts. Israel was to lose all of her marks of her religion in this dispersion. In verse 14, as he then starts the promise of the redemption and the bringing back of Israel, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyard from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. If you don't know the story of the valley of Achor, you should read it in the book of Joshua. It's the destruction of the Babylonian gold money system, the destruction of which will eventually release Israel from her modern captivity. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and that means husband, and shalt call me no more Belai, or my Lord. This is a forecast, a prophet, of the marriage, the remarriage of virgin Israel to Jesus Christ. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. About 400 years ago, with the invention of the printing press and the preaching of the gospel to northern and western Europe, Israel broke her idols. If you take the National Geographic, some of you might buy their books. There's a story about the Vikings and these books that they sell every 3 months, I think it is, hardcover book for about $5. It's a story of the Vikings. The man who writes it is not a religious person, but when you read it, you find out that he tells about the missionaries coming to Norway and Sweden. They converted the kings, and the kings went out with their armies and tore down all the gods of Thor. And of those people who didn't listen, they took the soldiers and drove them right into the rivers and baptized them. Wouldn't the Baptists have a good time with that? That's what's called kingdom revival. Some of us think we're going to convert the house of Israel by individually speaking and converting every person. No, God's going to convert Israel someday, literally, in a very short period of time. And he's going to do it in a way that many of us may not have suspected. But here's a promise of bringing Israel back to them. And they'll cast away their gods and they'll start calling God their husband. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. You recognize those as the doctrines of Christ. The preaching of Christ and the doctrines that he brought are the things preached to Israel that will betroth them to God. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, and I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. Again, I'll repeat, I don't know which one of these false doctrines really that are taught in America today which are the most damaging, but one of them is that your reward is in heaven. Almost every so-called Christian church in America tries to keep your eyes on heaven. Why? To hide from you what God is doing in the earth for the house of Israel. As an example, before I go on in Hosea, In the 5th chapter of Revelation, I won't read it for you. Yes, I will. I want to read the verse the man didn't read. In the 5th chapter of Revelation, I heard a minister one day on the radio read the entire chapter of 14 verses except for one verse, and he deliberately skipped that verse. Now, a good Bible student would know he did it, but most of his people perhaps did not know he skipped that verse. But it's verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That minister deliberately left that verse out of the reading of that chapter of Revelation. Why? Because apparently most of the so-called religious circles of America today are actually part of Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. Their job is to blind the eyes of Israel, not open them. Not to preach to open your eyes, but to blind them. I will sow her unto me in the earth. This is Hosea again. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them that were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Both Paul and Peter repeated those verses twice in the New Testament to make sure that the people who read their letters understood that they were the children of Israel being converted unto the Lord Jesus Christ and brought back to Him. The conversion of the house of Israel began over 1900 years ago on a cross at Calvary. It is not going to begin at some time in the future, as the so-called futurists tell you, well, the Jews are going to be converted and go out and preach the gospel. Nonsense. Israel was brought back to the Lord by the blood of the cross. Israel has not seen that, and so the prophecies await their final fulfillment. I would like to have you read all of the book of Hosea. Would to God that our Christian people would get familiar with the prophets, so that when Christ quotes them, and Paul quotes them, and Peter quotes them, and James quotes them, and they're referred to in the book of Revelation, you know what they're about. And you'll never know that unless you learn the books of the prophets. But the rest of the chapters of Isaiah tell of troubles and problems, going whoring after other gods, and wind from the east, which is eastern religions, which would affect the house of Israel. We'll read just a few of the verses, but in chapter 6, Israel will finally get to the point in verse 15 of chapter 5 where they will say, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge, I'm sorry, where God will say, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. What does that mean? Until Israel repents and seeks God. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Now some of us are beginning to wonder how much affliction the house of Israel is going to take. But I imagine we'll be still seeking God early. And then he gives a time in chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. If we would just get this through our thinking, that our trials and our troubles and our tribulations that are coming upon us are nothing more nor less than God Almighty afflicting our people to turn us back to him. If we knew the book of Judges and the prophets, we would know that whenever Israel turns away from God, God raises up heathen nations and brings them against the house of Israel to correct them. We're not going to stop the communists. The communists are the rod in God's hand being used to punish us until we do one thing. Hear the word of the Lord. He gives us a time. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Brother, sister, if this is computed from the time of the cross, with the computations according to God's days of every day 1,000 years in his sight, we are rapidly arriving at 2,000 years since Calvary. God is about ready to raise up Israel to live in his sight. And I want to show you that this just doesn't mean that we as a people are just going to turn to the Lord and do better than we did, or quit doing some of the nasty things we're doing. This is going to be a turning such as the world and history has never seen. Because in the promise of that turning, God says in verse 14 of chapter 13, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. I will be thy plagues. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. We're not talking about just people turning to God, a few here and there. We're talking about the resurrection from the dead to an everlasting kingdom. You saw the story of Solomon's temple, which precluded something that would last forever. Not to turn Israel to God and then a few generations from now to let us turn away again and go back into captivity. No, we're coming up to the age of the destruction of the wicked and the reigning of the righteous upon the earth in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth. In verse 8 and 9 of the last chapter, he says, Ephraim, and remember, in Bible prophecy, many times the house of Israel is called by the name of Ephraim, because Ephraim was adopted as the firstborn by Israel, way back in Genesis 48. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. When God's ways of righteousness come into full fruition upon the earth, the wicked shall die, and the righteous shall live forever. Sin is given as the reason for death in the Scripture. When God takes away our sin through the power of His Word and His blood, we're talking about the righteous living forever in an everlasting kingdom. That's what we talk about when we talk about the kingdom. Yes, God will save America. God will turn the communists, but God will do more than that. God, according to the prophets, will cleanse the earth. The stone that was cut out without hand shall grow and fill the whole earth. That's the hope of Israel, that we may serve our God, not in these mortal physical bodies, not for a few years, but forever under our Lord Jesus Christ. And may all of these things be a blessing to you, that you, as God's sheep, will turn to His Word and believe on His name.
This is Pastor Emery. That sermon was rather short because I preached that at our conference following a 60-minute slide film lecture on Solomon's Temple. So I just made a rather brief study of the prophet Hosea.